the Super Speedway.
Welcome to episode 275 of the Super Speedway podcast, recorded Wednesday, April 19th, 2023. I'm your host, Eric Young, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, James Cush. James, how's it going this week?
Eric, I have something. I was waiting for you to hit the record button before I told you this. I was just like you this weekend.
What's that?
I was at an ice rink.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I had to go to a birthday party.
Wow.
And it was at the Midland Ice Rink. And I thought, Eric, I can feel Eric's been here quite a bit.
Yeah.
And this is strange. I'm at a place where I don't feel comfortable. It's not in my element. But you've been all over, man. You've been chasing the Saginaw Spirit around in the playoffs. So.
I left the country, man.
Canada. I know. You're on the... When does Dream Bigger Media start the Saginaw Spirit podcast? That's my next question.
Yeah, I don't know. So I guess Saginaw Spirit I could do, but it's the other teams that I don't know enough of the players and information about the other teams to really like dive into it. There's another photographer that shoots for the league that I talk to all the time, and she talks about the other players on a first name basis, and I'm like, I don't know who you're talking about.
If they don't
play for Saginaw and maybe Flint, I don't have a clue who they are.
Right.
So I'm trying to learn them, but man, there's a lot of teams and stuff, and you only see them a few times a year.
Right.
So the playoffs help because you see the same team a bunch of times, but we're inching in on the end of our playoff run. We'll see. The Spirit have to win tomorrow night, Thursday night, to keep going. Otherwise, they're out. So,
yep.
But that just means more time to concentrate on NASCAR. And
exactly.
It's a big year for the Spirit next year, too. So this offseason's not going to be very long this year. So,
yeah.
It's good stuff. Good stuff.
Right? Yeah, it's I was going to tell you, too, my daughter looked at the ice and saw that the ice dancers were out there practicing. And
there you go.
I could feel my bank account start to slowly hurt as she said, Dad, that looks like fun.
Yeah.
I said, yes, very much so.
Yeah, I would guess that figure skating is a lot cheaper than hockey.
Probably. It could be. I don't know. It's got to be cheaper.
Less
it's got to be
required.
Cheaper than dance. I tell you what, because dance is trying to...
Yeah,
put me in an early grave. That's for sure.
They all get your money somehow.
Oh my God! Well,
you know what I learned, James, is what you need to do is football. Football for the kids is the way to go because everybody donates to football,
right.
So it's really cheap because the equipment's already there and you don't have to pay a whole lot to get involved because they got money coming out of their ears in football.
Yep,
the American sport.
Well, you know, with two daughters, I don't know how long that how long that can run.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah, that might be a strike against you. But hey, man, it's 2023, you know.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Who knows where we'll be in a few years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. Good idea.
Yeah. So so we're here to talk about NASCAR. And James, you know, I really, really considered just proposing to you that we come on this podcast and say, you know what? Martinsville sucked. Let's talk about something else.
Becoming a trend, I think.
You know, so I guess let's start with this. First of all, Kyle Larson finally gets a win at Martinsville. Good for Kyle Larson. It's been a track he hasn't run well at. Obviously, there's a lot of significance to Martinsville Speedway and Rick Hendrick, Fox, and NASCAR did a really cool, I don't know if you saw it, James, probably, the flashback reenactment of Jeff Bodine's win.
Yes, I saw it. Yep.
That was pretty cool. So, you know, it's an important track for Hendrick. There's a lot of emphasis put on this track. Larson's not been good on short tracks. He's not been good here, but he gets himself a win. I think probably, James, if you or I maybe had the lead on the last restart at Martinsville, we probably could have won this race too, considering the amount of passing that was going on.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so let's talk about – we got that out of the way. Remember about this time last year, or right around this time, a little before this, we were all in on this car. We were like, this car has done everything it's supposed to do. We are down. We're no longer going to talk about the package. We're happy. What the hell happened in a year?
We've been talking about the package ever since.
Right?
You know, I listened to Dale Jarrett today.
Okay.
doing a little pre-show prep. I kind of saved my NASCAR consumption for this morning because, you know, we're a day late. So I'm like, I want to make sure it's some things are fresh in my mind. I heard Dale Jarrett say something really smart that I hadn't thought of. And he said, you know, NASCAR races on all these different types of racetracks.
Right.
And you have one car.
Mm-hmm.
And something's got to give somewhere. The car can only be so good so many different places. And right now, the car is terrible at short tracks, no matter what you do.
Right.
And it seems, and I heard, and that echoed what Kyle Larson had said after the race, where he said he couldn't tell the difference in the rules package from this year to last year. He said, if you had told me we hadn't changed anything in the car, I'd believe you. And if you told me we did, I'd believe you. Because it was, he said, I just felt the exact same. You couldn't tell. And obviously everybody's trying to fix it right now. And you've got Harvick and Hamlin screaming for engine changes. Now that's the new thing because Goodyear can't do it anymore or whatever. Right. It seems to me, I don't know. I hate doing the how do we fix NASCAR.
I know. But I'll tell you what, let's not do that so much. If you want that, listen to Tuesday's Dale Jr. Download.
Yeah, there you go. Dale Jr. does. Yeah, he's always fixing NASCAR.
He breaks it down, man. He comes up with 5-6 different suggestions on how to fix it. One thing I will say, and I'll piggyback off of Junior on this because he talked about it. I really think that probably the biggest issue, aside from shifting, which I think everybody kind of agrees is an issue.
Yeah.
And I don't know the technical aspects behind the transmission or the drive axle or whatever the hell it's called that they have this year. Transaxle, that's what it is.
Transaxle, yes.
I don't know the specifics behind it as to how difficult it is to just take a gear out of it. I kind of worried last year when we added a gear that maybe that's going to be an issue. But honestly, probably the biggest place that we can fix other than that is having a tire that falls off. But the problem is Goodyear doesn't make money off of NASCAR. Goodyear uses its appearance in NASCAR as an advertisement. And it's not a good advertisement if your tire fails during the race. People don't run out and then buy Goodyear tires. Your favorite driver is famous for when something bad goes wrong, bitching about Goodyear tires and Tony Stewart. So right. Goodyear can't afford to make a tire that's going to fail. So they're making hard tires that don't wear out, and you can't blame them. I mean, and it's not like there's competition to where somebody else can make a tire that's better because Goodyear's the only game in town right now. And I don't think the solution's a tire war either. Certainly not. I think a tire war would be horrible. It certainly was. I mean, we lost some drivers in the last tire war. We don't need another one of those. But, you know, if only we could get all the drivers to get together and say, listen, let's not complain about the tires and we'll bring a softer tire to the track. I don't know. I thought the best racing all weekend pretty much was the truck series on the rain tires. Because they fell off.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, maybe that's a solution. Let's just run treaded tires on all the tracks. So I don't know. It's something's wrong. It needs to be fixed. So short tracks, it used to be short tracks in NASCAR. You couldn't, you know why we stopped going to short tracks, right, James? Because we couldn't fit the people in that wanted to come to the races. We need to go to these big tracks so we could fit all the stands in for all these people to come to the races. Well, now, how many years are we going to tear seats out of short tracks that we used to not be able to fit enough seats in before we go, man, we got to fix this? And I don't think NASCAR is sitting here going, everything's great. I think they know there's a problem, but man, we got to get on this and get this thing fixed because the short tracks are our bread and butter and we're adding them to the series and they're our worst racing right now.
Right. And, you know, to add to your tire point, you know, it'd be nice to have fall off. 100% agree with you there. But when you're talking about the Cup Series, you're also talking about the widest tire that's ever been put in on a stock car. And it's still
Well, not really, though. I mean, how big are the tires? And the Junior brought this up. How big are the tires they run on the modifieds? And the modifieds put on a great show.
Well, sure.
And what's the difference? The modifieds have gummy tires. They have tires that wear.
Right, but these car the way these cars, and especially with the rims, yeah. Eric, there's not a lot of room. I think that's part of the problem.
Well, there's no sidewall.
You know, exactly. There's nothing there for the tire to lean on. You've got a big rectangle, basically, is what, you know, what it looks like.
While we're arguing that this race is bad, I did want to take a look at something really quick because. Mm-hmm. You know, inherently, we always talk about how bad these races are, and it used to be so much better, blah, 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 blah. So I pulled, NASCAR has a statistic they put out every week of quality passes, number of quality passes in a race. I don't remember what the definition of a quality pass is. I believe it's green flag pass, and there's some stipulation behind it, but whatever. It's the same 10 years ago as it is now. So I went back, and I went to 2019. The March 24th, 2019 race at Martinsville. It was the STP 500. 500 mm-hmm. laps, James, at Martinsville. And compared it to this weekend's 400 lap race at Martinsville. Your first place driver in 2019 was Brad Keselowski. He won the race. Mm-hmm. He had two quality passes mm-hmm. in that race. Our winner this weekend, Kyle Larson, had 34 quality passes in this race.
Yeah.
The Daniel Suarez in the 41 car had the most quality passes in 2019 with 42. Denny Hamlin had the most quality passes in this race with 44. The numbers, first of all, there's 30 cars that had quality passes in this race. There were only 23 in 2019. So based on these statistics, it doesn't correlate with what we saw. And I don't understand that. And I don't know if it's, I don't know if it's just because we're not wrecking. Maybe that's what it is, James. Maybe TV is not doing a good enough job of showing us all the action. And I mean, there's only so much blame you can put on them. I don't know, but it's not like people are screaming for Martinsville that this was a great race either. So, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know, but these statistics don't back up the argument that, yeah. And maybe I just, cause I just randomly pulled the race in 2019. Maybe I just pulled a crappy race, but, I don't know. It just doesn't, every time we look at these quality passes, they don't back up the statement that you can't pass.
Right. And I think too, Eric, you know, part of me thinks too, that people forget what Martinsville really was back in the day. Nate Ryan said this, and I kind of agree. I kind of half-heartedly agree that, you know, Martinsville's always been kind of a, you know, straight line
yeah.
chain of events with a little bumping and banging. I just don't think with this car, you get the action in the corners. I honestly, they're too fast, and maybe that's the horsepower thing, but they're stuck to the track and they just kind of fly around the corners when everybody is so close on speed. You know, there's no challenge there. It's you look at Ryan Preece. He can stay up front right. and dominate the first part of this race. And as soon as he falls back because of a penalty, he can't go anywhere because he's just as fast as everybody else. It's just there's nowhere for him to go. He just can't pass.
Well, Joey Logano can stay on the lead lap and then manages to get position at the end and almost wins the race.
Right. But this happened. I'll throw another old Martinsville race out at you that I remember very well. 2011, fall Martinsville race. Tony Stewart's about to go a lap down. Gets a break, gets a caution, gambles on strategy, and puts himself near the front and is able to win that race. Was completely out to lunch. Was able to win that race just because he was able to get a little bit of track position and use some aggression. That's the part where I don't know if the driver, you know, if the driver can make up the difference for the cars at this point. That's the one thing I'm not sure of.
So are we just bitching?
Similar situation.
Are we just bitching too much?
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. Everybody is. Yeah.
Yep. We just need to suck it up and enjoy the race and shut up.
I don't think it was as bad as people thought. Honestly, I mean, I guess that's where I could leave that could be my closing statement. Yeah. I mean, I don't think it was a terrible race. It was just, you know, people want more out of Martinsville, and I think they think highly of Martinsville, obviously, and they want to see some action. I really hope what we're seeing now isn't what we see at North Wilkesboro, though. I tell you what, there's more anticipation for that race than anything.
I think the advantage we have at North Wilkesboro is there's going to be fall off. There's nothing they can do to make those tires not fall off there. So,
right.
So I'm hopeful. All right, let's move on from Martinsville sucking then, because everybody talked the crap out of that already this week. It's Wednesday. You know, we don't need to talk about it anymore. It's been beaten to death. So let's talk about James. There was a story this week that got lost in the news. There was not a whole lot of talk about it. I don't know if you know, but did you know that Chase Elliott was back this week?
Oh, my God. I got a promoted tweet today on my feed that he was coming back. And I said, he's already been back.
Yeah.
Can we turn off the promoted tweets? Jeez,
my issue with this, first of all, I haven't seen the numbers myself, but it sounded like from Dale Jr.'s podcast that that numbers were up for Martinsville for ratings. So apparently Chase does move the needle enough. I don't know how somebody with so little personality can move the needle as much as he does.
I think Martinsville moves the needle on its own, too,
but
a little bit.
Anyway, Chase being back is a big deal, I guess. My issue, I think, is less that we're promoting Chase coming back the way we are, and more that why are we not promoting other drivers all the time?
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's mm-hmm. do this to everybody. We need more Chase Elliotts. We need more guys that draw a crowd. I've never understood this, James. I remember back in the day when Earnhardt was racing. You'd go to Michigan and Earnhardt would crash a quarter of the way through the race and half the stands would leave. And I've just never understood that, because I'm a NASCAR fan. I'm a fan of drivers, but I'm a NASCAR fan, and I'm not going to leave just because one driver's out. But there's a lot of fans that are like that.
Yep.
I don't get it.
Yeah. We spend a lot of time with this, you know, situation. And then we have a situation like Corey LaJoy's, where he brings this awesome sponsor on. It's a great story. NEGU is on his car. And they don't even talk about him all race long. And then they bring him on Race Hub to speak on it a little bit more.
Yeah.
So there's no balance there. I understand it's exciting for some people that Chase is coming back. But this is I think what NASCAR is trying to tap into is what F1 seems to have right now, and that's personality.
Right.
Unfortunately, I'm not sure Chase Elliott has the biggest personality.
Does he have one at all? I mean,
I don't hate Chase,
but
he definitely plays it pretty straight.
Yeah. I mean, Denny Hamlin's got personality. Let's promote the crap out of Denny Hamlin. Well, Joey Logano's got personality. Promote him.
Yeah, well, when Denny Hamlin shares his personality, he gets
they fine him
and take points away.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's really weird. I don't get it. I think we've got a lot of good personalities in the sport, and we just don't do a good job with them, you know, like we did. People really cared about that kind of stuff back in the, you know, 90s and 2000s mm-hmm. during the boom. I mean, they really loved their driver. Like you said, Eric, if a guy crashed, they'd leave. Dale Earnhardt fans would leave, or Jeff Gordon fans would leave.
Yeah.
I remember those days myself. It's, you know, it's
not only that, but you also hated those drivers. If you either loved that driver, or you hated that driver. I mean, how many anybody but Earnhardt stickers did you see back in the day, or anybody but Gordon?
Yeah.
Yep. You know, I had a shirt that was airbrushed, that was out with the old, in with the new, and it was Jeff Gordon's numbers being spray painted over Dale Earnhardt's number. Yep. I mean, that's the type. We just don't have that stuff anymore. Now we get a rivalry and we find the drivers for it.
I have this theory, or whatever, this belief, I should say, that NASCAR is a regional sport, just like baseball. People think Major League Baseball is a national pastime, and it's not. It's a regional sport. Fans who love the Detroit Tigers aren't seeking out the Miami Marlins.
That's true.
Or whatever. They're not watching those games. So when the Tigers game's done, you know what they're not doing? They're not watching baseball on TV.
Yeah.
They're watching their market. Same thing. I think hockey's got this a little bit too, Eric.
I'm done watching. I mean, the Red Wings are out. I'm done.
Yeah. I mean, how many playoff games are you watching right now? And that's the best part of the hockey season, as so I'm told, right? The hockey playoffs are amazing. And the same thing with basketball. I think basketball is a little bit more national because of the star power that they have, but same thing. If your team's not in it, you back out. And the thing with NASCAR is all the teams play at one time on, you know, in one place.
Yeah.
So if you do lose a driver, I do understand that to a certain extent. But I haven't had a favorite driver for 7 years now, like a number one driver that I like to watch. I have my favorites. I have, you know, drivers I prefer over others, but
right.
You know, I just like watching the races and tuning in. And, you know, there's, and I'll be honest with you, there's times where I'm busy and, you know, I'm watching the race a bunch of different ways, but I'm not coming and going because, you know, Chase Elliott's not in the field. You know, like NASCAR doing promoted tweets to me, the average fan, I guess, is I'm not a Chase Elliott fan. It doesn't do anything for me. I'm watching the race anyway. Why are you targeting me? I'm not your target audience for this.
Yeah. I've historically cheered for the guy who was in second. You know, I want to see the battle more than cheering for one driver. I mean, I have my favorites, but you know, that only extends so far. There's, you know, Kyle Busch is, you know, arguably my favorite, but there's been many times I've rooted against him because he's running away with the race.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
All right. So the other controversial moment of this race that I wanted to talk about, as my dog barks in the background, is there was a tire issue during the race, James. And the tire, according to TJ Majors on Door Bumper Clear this week, sat on the track for 39 seconds before NASCAR threw the caution. TV clearly showed it twice before the caution was thrown and clearly showed it within the view of the flagman. But the flagman in NASCAR doesn't have the authority to throw the caution.
It's ceremonial position.
It's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
How does this stuff... I get where the tire was located. The tire was located against the wall. You couldn't see it from the tower. But how do they not... It's on the freaking TV. I know they got the TV in the tower. How do they not see this? How does it go almost 40 seconds... We throw a caution for Kyle Busch spinning onto pit road at Bristol, but we don't throw a caution for this when it could have killed somebody.
Yeah, I know the officials are doing a lot of things at one time, and there's a lot of stuff going on a half-mile track. It's just not an excuse. Mm-mm. You can't make an excuse for it. And the only thing I can think of, because I knew we were going to talk about this, was you got to give the flag. You got to give the flag. Man, some can their flag person now.
Yeah, right.
I want to be politically correct. The person doing the flagging, you got to give that person, you got to give them some authority at some point. If they see danger in front of them, they should be able to throw the caution,
yeah,
and trigger it. I don't,
first
understand.
Of all, their
that,
life is in
understand.
Danger right there.
Yeah, the tire bounces up. They are the most exposed official in the garage when cars are on the or in the facility when cars are on the track. Now I know on pit road it gets a little dicey with some of those officials sometimes, but that's not the least vulnerable place to be. So
yeah, I don't understand how this type of stuff keeps happening. I don't know if they need more officials. I don't know if they need more people that can make a call. I realize that every time NASCAR throws a quick caution, everybody throws a fit. So,
and you can't tell me too, Eric, that the official doesn't see that tire and they can speak to the,
right.
I'm sure they can speak to the officials, right?
You would think.
They can say, hey, tire in turn four. Does that take 39 seconds for us to get a flag? That's two laps around Martinsville, for cripe's sake.
Yeah, honestly, two laps. I think probably the solution to NASCAR's officiating issues is NASCAR needs to just turn off Twitter and ignore the fans bitching and just do what they need to do. They need to stop worrying about what everybody thinks and just police the sport. That's where the problem's coming in, is they're trying to please everybody and they're not going to.
Yeah. Well, you know, Elon Musk, maybe he'll turn off Twitter for us.
Right.
So.
It hasn't happened yet, James. I don't think it's happening.
No, I don't think so either.
Anything else with this? I mean, we haven't really talked about specific drivers at all. Anybody really jump out at you as a strong performer in this race?
Man. I think we should, maybe just a couple of guys, we should call out the SHR contingent.
Yeah.
They brought fast race cars. I know they're disappointed that they didn't get the result, but Ryan Preece won a stage, led 135 laps, led the most laps, and Chase Briscoe led 109 laps, and it got a top five. And all of their cars were good. Eric Almirola finished sixth, and there was a time when Harvick was up there for a little bit, so you know he led some laps. Harvick won a stage, so
yeah.
You want to make sure you shout these guys out, because it has not been the easiest start to the season for Stuart Haas. That's pretty cool. I also thought, like, Truex, Logano, even Ross Chastain, they were nowhere to be found all race long.
Yeah, Bubba Wallace was another one.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, you know what else? Speaking of Bubba Wallace, some drivers went into the care center. That's one thing that these cars were so freaking hot.
Okay. I thought you were going to talk about Bubba beating on the back of Denny Hamlin for 6 to 8 laps.
Well, yeah, that was going on too. But yeah, there. Yeah. But Bubba was one of those guys got out of his car. He didn't go to the Skinfield care center, but he was hurting. So was Chase and a few others. But yeah, him beating and banging on Denny Hamlin.
Yeah.
Didn't Denny say he wants to lap his cars every week he sees them?
I don't know. I know that Freddie said that Denny's told him that he's just another car on the racetrack, that they're not teammates. Don't wreck me, but you race me like anybody else. So,
yep.
That's cool. I like that. Yeah, definitely. You don't want to handicap your guys. I mean, that's not why you own a team, is to give yourself an advantage. You know, you own a team because you own a team, and that's your future.
Right.
So.
Right.
But good races for those guys. Another one that I want to point out. Let's see where he ended up. Todd Gilliland finished 25th, but before he lost a cylinder, so man, he ran great.
Yeah. For a guy who's being forced out.
Yeah.
He's running really strong.
Spoiler alert, I was going to pick him this week, but he's in a Rick Ware Racing car this week at Talladega.
No,
so.
I think he's...
Is he still in the 38?
He's in the third car for them. He'll be racing the 36 or whatever. And they're so... Zane Smith... This is a good one. Zane Smith's truck team is going to pit Todd Gilliland's cup car while Zane Smith gets Todd Gilliland's...
Jeez.
All right, what a
freaking mess. Oh man, that's tough then. Maybe I want to pick Todd Gilliland. Maybe I don't want to.
Yeah, so hopefully, yeah, he'll be in he's not in the Rick Ware car this week. I don't know who Rick Ware is gonna put in, because Zane filled in the 51. Maybe that's, I think we spent some time talking about Crafton last week, and then Zane Smith
put
in the seat. That was actually I actually like that. That was a really good move on the behalf of Ford and Rick Ware to put Zane in the car, even though he didn't have a great race. I thought that was good.
Yeah.
But yeah, that whole situation, that, what a mess. That team is actually running pretty good, and they've got themselves in a little bit of a pickle.
Kyle Larson has now won 21 races in 304 NASCAR Cup Series races.
Yep.
Second victory and fourth top 10 finish this year. Ty Gibbs was your highest finishing rookie at 18th in this race. Nice quiet day for Ty, pretty much.
Eric, I was going to ask you about this one too, real quick.
Yeah.
So Kyle Larson wins his second race of the year. He's let a couple of them get away. Man, it's starting to feel like he's got something cooking now.
I think it's starting to feel like Hendrick's got something cooking.
Nothing. He had nothing in this race, and they found a way.
Yeah.
To get it done. That's.
I mean, I'm never going to bet against Kyle Larson. I mean, no. I think he's arguably. I mean. He's the best racer in auto racing now.
He's in his whatever this window, however long this window lasts, he is in that window, that Kyle Busch window.
Yeah.
That torch is now passed. It's Kyle Larson's
time. And Kyle Larson just ran his first race in a modified last night at Eldora and won.
I know, he freaking won.
The dude can win in anything. And I mean, honestly, I wish he would go over and run a top alcohol dragster and see if he can beat Tony. I mean, now that Tony's
got to get him in an SRX car. That's the next thing we got to do.
There you go. I mean, shoot, this guy wins in everything he gets in. He's definitely, you know, we talk about Jimmy Johnson being the greatest of all time in NASCAR, but Kyle Larson is working his way toward greatest of all time, period.
I don't know. You know, like, generationally, gosh, I feel like we just talked about him a whole bunch when he won his last race, but he's that special.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, drivers like him don't come along very often. Like, you get one every 10 years or so that are special like him. Kyle Busch was one of those guys. Jimmy was one of those guys. I think Tony was one of those guys. And before that, probably, Jeff Gordon?
Yeah, Jeff Gordon, for sure.
Like really, really special talented guys. And, you know, Kyle's at the point now where if he doesn't get two or three cups, it's going to be a complete disappointment.
Yeah.
I think, cause he's so good. Like Kyle Busch should have more than two. That's where Kyle Larson's he is in that whole realm now. It's his time.
Oh yeah. You know, one thing that Kyle Larson doesn't have, though, James?
What's that?
He is that? Not a Formula One champion, which we found out this week that J.J. Yaley is a past
yeah,
Formula One champion.
Yeah, I thought you'd get a kick out of that. 2009 Formula One champion.
Yeah. Who did he oust? Who won the 2009 Formula One championship?
I think that was Jenson Button's. I don't think that was one of the Lewis Hamilton ones.
Talk about disrespect for Jenson Button.
The funniest thing about F1 right now is that they're trying to rewrite history. Lewis Hamilton's going to lose a world championship and get one back all at the same time because of the politics going on over there. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So stupid.
So, yeah, in case you missed it, Fox had a graphic screw-up. I think, what, it was during qualifying or practice with J.J.
Yeah,
Lewis
it was
car.
Qualifying.
They still had the stats on it from Coda.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Good stuff. Anything else to race before we move on, James?
Just one more driver shout-out. Ricky Stenhouse is putting together a nice season. That might be the last thing I'll say on the day, but he's got another top 10. He had 5 all of last year. He's at 4 already, 9 races in.
There you go.
That team's not that Daytona win, not fluky in this season, definitely not fluky. That car is pretty quick.
Yeah, I agree.
So
NASCAR Xfinity Series also raced at Martinsville this weekend. John Hunter Nemechek did probably the coolest burnout ever in the history of burnouts. Lighting the track on fire thanks to the mud flaps. And then gets out of the car and proceeds to brag about a sponsor, which happened to be a fire safety company. So
funny.
Meanwhile, he also led 198 laps of this race, so of a 250 lap race.
That was a butt whooping. At what point do we have to start policing the burnouts, because we're destroying stuff at a pretty high clip at this point?
I think it was Elton Sawyer talked about it and said they're not too worried about it yet. So,
oh, all right. Well, yeah, that's fine.
He said, as far as getting through tech inspection, they put new tires on it and roll it through and it's just fine. So, I guess, you know,
remember
they want drivers to celebrate, they enjoy the burnout. NASCAR does. So
remember when Dale Jr. accused Martin Truex Jr. of cheating?
I just watched that video actually.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. Yeah. I had actually thought about that. And then I saw that video not too long ago too, about blowing out his rear tires.
Yeah.
I was like, that's pretty interesting.
I would but be remiss too, that. if I didn't congratulate Kyle Larson on his burnout all the way around the track too. That was pretty cool.
Oh yeah. He's getting good at that. That seems to be his new, move.
Yeah.
he's really good at the long burnout.
Yep.
Remember when he used to take the steering wheel off?
He
got in big trouble for that.
Yeah.
That was better. That was a better burnout, I think.
I love that. I thought it was great. I don't know if I'd like it if I was the guy standing on the track with the camera, but
yeah, maybe that's why he got told not to do it anymore.
I worry about that guy with the Steadicam running around out there during the burnouts. I feel like he's going to get hit one of these days.
Yeah, why can't the choose drone come out there?
I don't know. Fox got rid of the drone they used to fly around during the burnouts. I don't know what happened to that.
Budget cuts, maybe.
A couple other things with this Xfinity race. Shout out to Chandler Smith, continues to run excellent in the 16 car, 10th place finish. Another one worth mentioning, Derek Kraus, who kind of couldn't ran into more things than he didn't in the truck series, comes over here in the Xfinity series and just runs solid races over here. We got the middle finger from Sam Mayer on
yes, saw that.
Who the heck was it? It was I'm losing it.
I can't remember. I saw the clip, but I didn't see the result of the finger.
Yeah, I don't remember who that. It was Ryan Truex Jr. or just Ryan Truex, really. But everybody called him Ryan Truex Jr.
Yeah.
Ryan Truex. Sam Mayer is not a giant fan, and then he proceeds to say that he can't talk bad about Joe Gibbs Racing drivers because, you know, he got pretty much knocked out last time he did it. So,
oh yeah, yeah, don't do that
at Martinsville of all places.
Yeah, well, he ended up wrecked anyway. So. Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else with Xfinity worth talking about?
Nope, I think we're good there, man.
Truck Series: Corey Heim gets the win in a rain shortened race. The story of the truck race really was wet weather tires. Got to see him for the first time in an oval. I think calling them wet weather tires or calling it wet weather racing is a pretty big stretch. Because I think saltine crackers are drier than that racetrack was.
Jeff Gluck got in big trouble on Twitter for whatever. They're wet weather tires. The track's damp. They're wet weather tires, whatever you want to call them.
The track was not very wet, though. I mean, no. they could have started them earlier. And then I agree with Kyle Busch at the end. Like, this is your chance to try them. It was a perfect scenario for NASCAR because it's in the truck series.
Yeah.
Try them and see what you can do after the race, or at the end of the race. But I guess, you know, the only way you're going to know where the line is to wreck at the end, and they didn't want to do that, so they called the race. But I thought the wet weather tires performed well. Like I said, there was fall off, so that was cool to see. Wish we could have seen that with the slicks as well.
Can we let the teams choose if they want to run the wet weather tires or not?
Yeah, that'd I don't think nice. Anybody would have put them on if they would have done that.
I don't know, but I'd like to see slicks. The teams make the choice instead of, I don't know.
Yeah,
that's my thought.
It's food for thought. The whole thing is, like, again, we either race in the wet or we don't. This whole halfway stuff is annoying. Just make a decision and stick with it.
Yep.
Our buddy Carson Hocevar made an idiot out of himself again. Got penalized 2 laps for wrecking himself, trying to wreck somebody else.
Yeah. And that's where he stayed the rest of the day.
Yeah. Well, the race ended. So,
yep.
I mean, I don't know. Jeez. I don't know what at least NASCAR finally penalized him.
He's got to settle down just a tick.
A little bit.
He's wrecking a lot of stuff this year, and I know he won a race, but I'd like to see him go the other direction with the wrecking of stuff.
Yeah.
His I don't know. I don't even know what to say. His average finish is off a cliff. Again, I know he's won a race, but I'd like to see him tighten up here a little bit.
I mean, I get that Carson Hocevar doesn't get on a podcast and talk bad about NASCAR, but, you know, Denny Hamlin got penalized pretty significantly for manipulating race finishes. And I'd say Carson's manipulated more than Denny has over the past 2 years. So,
yeah. Well, I think NASCAR did the right thing, though. Should give credit where credit's due. They called it immediately.
Yes.
And concisely.
I will give them that. I was expecting an additional penalty this week, though, and there was not one.
Well, I think what happened there was Denny Hamlin got penalized 25 points for doing something on the last lap of a race, whereas Carson Hocevar did this during a race and got his penalty in real time. So yeah. I think this is probably a more severe penalty than what Denny even got, because he, you know, you think about the, you know, thinking about getting stuck in 34th place, you're not gaining anything. He only ended up with 8 points on the day. So,
yeah, I mean, let's be clear, though.
Definitely hurt.
Denny Hamlin got penalized because he mouthed off
his podcast. Oh, of course. Absolutely.
He wasn't getting penalized until he put his foot in his mouth.
Yes. 100%.
Well, there you go. There's your truck series. That's your Martinsville weekend. We can move on out of there. As Clint Boyer says, thank God we don't have to go back to any short tracks anytime soon.
That's right. I was going to say, on Racing Reference, I was looking at the finishing order, and there's the invisible driver finishing P29. Don't know who it was on Racing Reference, but it was the number 30 truck, and that's it.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Racing Reference is starting to get a little sketchy.
Oh, the Nick Bromberg in you is coming out.
Well,
he's on Racing Reference pretty bad since NASCAR took it over.
I like it, but I mean, we have incomplete results here. It's Wednesday.
Yeah.
I don't know. Come on. Fix it up.
What, let's see. What do they have on their official scoring sheet? What position?
P29, number 30.
29, number 30 is Jonathan Schaefer.
There you go. Must not have a record yet.
The Oscars Auto Body Toyota.
Yep.
There you go.
Oh, man.
Let's talk some news, James. Not a whole lot, but we did get some penalty reports today. This one advantage to recording on Wednesday versus Tuesday.
Yeah, real time.
Austin Dillon loses 60 points, team and owner points, and 5 playoff points for underwing issues after the car was taken to the R&D center this week. Crew chief Keith Rodden also was fined $75,000 and suspended for 2 races.
Yeah.
So, messing with parts again.
NASCAR's dropping the hammer this year.
Yeah.
Not fooling around.
Yep. The whole suspending the crew chief thing, though, is so stupid. Did you realize that they're actually, like, on the property, sitting in the bus lot, calling the races now? That's they're literally, they used to be, like, they were at least not at the track. They were radioing in, but now they're literally still at the track.
That's funny.
It's stupid. What the hell's the point?
I guess they're not in the scorer's tower, so.
So dumb.
Well, NASCAR maybe needs to write the rule that they can't be on the property.
Then. That's what I'm saying.
Just come on.
Somebody on Moody's show called in and suggested that NASCAR has a room for them to sit in the press box with a rocking chair and make them sit there so they can watch them. It's like, Dad, well, we don't really want to capture them and put them in a cage.
A penalty box?
Yeah. Let's fly the crew chief out there just to sit there. That sounds like a brilliant idea.
It's funny.
You know, the callers on that show usually are pretty, they have some pretty good ideas.
I enjoy it. Yeah, they come up with stuff.
Speaking of penalties, the NASCAR Appeals Committee amended colleagues' penalty to match Hendrick's penalty on the louvers. Per NASCAR, NASCAR made the request, mm-hmm. according to a statement from NASCAR. So colleague gets their points back and all that. So
that was the right thing to do.
Yeah, I think NASCAR came out good on that one. They basically said in their statement that they disagree with the change that was made, but hey, that it needs to be fair, and I like
that. The penalties, yep. The penalties are the exact same. You should make sure that they're the exact same. Yep,
good on NASCAR on that. We gave them some crap this week, but definitely deserve some credit for that. So,
yep, absolutely.
Good deal. And that's it. I don't think there's any other news. Is there, James? I guess we can. I already hinted at it, but Tony Stewart got himself a win in the top alcohol dragster.
Yeah, that was going to probably be my shout out. So I figured I'll take it now.
Sorry to ruin it for you.
It's all right. No, it's cool, man. I sent you a graphic.
Yeah.
That was just awesome. And you could definitely do one with Kyle Larson, like you said right. earlier. It's just, I just thought it was so cool that he's won in all these different professional ranks of motorsport. I joked with you that he needs to get a very large seat in an F1 car.
Yeah.
Although he's already done that. He drove one with Lewis Hamilton. So I guess, right. I guess kind of he did it. But yeah, it's just cool, man. Adding an NHRA win to his, you know, World of Outlaws, NASCAR wins and Indy, you know, Indy cars, man, it's IROC, just a lot. It's cool, man. He's definitely, you know, the AJ Foyt, I guess, you know, his idol. He's that guy.
Definitely.
For his generation. Just put him in anything, he can win.
Definitely. I've not seen the booth at Talladega. I wonder if the door is big enough for him to get his head in it this week to help broadcast.
I hope he comes peacocking in.
Has the trophy in hand, that'd be cool.
Yep. No, nobody else in that booth has won in a while, Mr. Boyer.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty cool. You know, I'm sure Boyer's going to bring it up this weekend.
Oh, he'll have to. Yeah.
That's cool. You know, I got a lot of respect for Tony. Tony's definitely, you know, his generation's, you know, greatest when it comes to anything with four wheels. Yep. Like I said, Kyle Larson is definitely closing in on that in his own right, in his own generation. But
yeah,
but
I think
Tony's got that title for his.
I think Tony and Kyle Larson could have been series champions in anything that they put their time into. You know, if Tony would have went with the World of Outlaws route for his entire career, he would have won championships. Yeah. Same with Kyle Larson. They would have, IndyCar, you know, Tony did win the Indy title.
Yeah. If he'd have stuck with IndyCar longer, he'd have gotten that Indy 500 too, that he didn't get, you know?
Yeah. I mean, oh yeah, absolutely. I wonder, you know,
of course he didn't get the Daytona 500. So I guess it's easy to say that, but.
Yep. Like, oh yeah. 100%. You know, you pick your battles, you know, and you only get so many years to do these things. So,
yeah.
It's a pretty interesting, he's definitely got one of the more interesting motorsports resumes that's ever, been put together.
I'm glad that the old goat's still getting wins, right, James?
Yeah. The old goat. Yeah. We'll see that paint scheme this week, right?
Yes. Yes. That's awesome. So, I like that you said that to me, the Chase Briscoe scheme honoring the old goat, Tony Stewart, is pretty good this week. So
yep.
Them and Mahindra Tractors, very cool deal. So
yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Speaking of that, James, we're going to Talladega this week. This is one of my favorite races of the year. I'm a little skeptical because this car has not been the greatest on the speedway tracks. I'm really hoping we get a third line. If we get a third line, it'd be a lot better. But I'm not anticipating that this track that you can fit five wide on is going to produce anything but two wide racing. But hey, I'm still excited. It's Talladega.
Yep, me too.
We get Xfinity Racing as well. I think we get the ARCA cars too, so cover your eyes and cross your fingers for that one. But we're coming off of our picks. We get to make our picks this week. James, I'm still trailing you because while I actually managed to muster out a decent finish with Martin Truex Jr., God, I thought it was going to go bad again. He did get me 34 points, but you still managed to beat me by 10. with 44 points with your Denny Hamlin pick at Martinsville.
It's become, yeah, this is a thing now. It's really good. Yeah.
So
you've scored 169 in the season and you're down 160.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I was looking at this and so 34 is my highest finish. I've had 34 points twice this season. You have three races only that you have finished below that. So every race otherwise you have finished above that.
Oh,
so that is why you are completely destroying me. But I still get to make the first pick this weekend. And I went back and forth, but I'm going with a super speedway guy that I still have and probably not going to use anywhere else. And I'm going to take old number three. Austin Dillon is my pick.
Ooh, coming off the, and coming off the penalty. So
yeah,
probably some motivation there.
Yep. Yep. I'm hoping. Sorry, well, Austin. Sorry to jinx you.
You left me. You didn't have a choice because I already had him. Already used him in the Daytona 500.
Yeah.
Brad Keselowski.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for Talladega to use him. Let's go. He has a chance to break a tie with Dale Jr. for second on the all-time wins list at Talladega.
This will probably be the most that I've cheered for one of your drivers. Ever since we've been doing picks.
I guess it doesn't matter at this point, right?
No, right?
Right.
Yeah. I want to see Brad get a win. I really do, and this is definitely a good opportunity for him. Stenhouse, a really good choice here as well. I know a lot of people are saying Eric Jones is a really good choice here.
Yes.
Obviously, Bubba Wallace is one here.
Yeah, Ricky Stenhouse.
Yeah. Ryan Blaney is a good pick.
Always, yeah.
Chase Elliott won here last year, one of the races. Yeah, Joey.
This will be the 1 year anniversary of Ross Chastain's last win.
There you go.
Yeah, you know he's been a hot rod ever since.
Yeah,
only been a whole season. Just saying. Sorry. It's sometimes it creeps out, Eric. I can't help myself. Just
James, I didn't even look at fantasy this week, so I probably won. How did fantasy go this week?
No, you did not.
Did I do terribly?
Hold on. I'm just pulling it up here real quick. I did see, so quick shout out. I haven't looked at the updated stats of this, but shout out to Taylor for pointing this out to me. Taylor, our former guest that was on the show. Big fan. He pointed out that Barron Speedway is in the top 100.
That's awesome.
Of all of NASCAR.com fantasy. So that would explain why he's kicking our butts so bad.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Man. So I actually messaged him and he says, I just hope the run continues. I was like, oh man. Yeah, of course he's kicking our butt. But Ranger, our three-time champ, he got the win, 207. Jeff Gordon for GOAT was second and Barron Speedway, he was third. Eric, I was in a two-way tie for fifth and you...
dead last.
Where are you? You were 12th. Well, you weren't terrible. I mean, you know, but
12th's pretty bad.
With that, I was able to finally catch you in the overall standings. Barron Speedway's first, obviously. He's got a 150-point lead over Mickey Elliott. Tandem Draft Hona third. Ranger fourth. I am fifth. And Eric, you are sixth.
Only took you 10 races to catch me.
That's right. Finally caught you. And now I'm trying to begin my assault on first, but I don't know. I'm over 200 points behind Barron right now. So he seems to be in a nice comfy spot. So we'll see if he can get all the way through the season here. He's definitely dominated the first quarter of the year. I should look and see where he's at. If I can find him again, I got to see. I couldn't believe it. I was like, man, he's top 100.
That's awesome. That's
incredible. It's incredible.
That's crazy.
Love to see him in first place. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be pretty neat. I mean, not for us, but
no, absolutely
for him.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't find it right now, but he's probably still, I mean, he had a good week again, so he's probably still somewhere around there.
There you go. I know you had your Tony Stewart shout out. Any other shout outs this week, James?
Nope. That would probably be the one. That would be the one I was going to use.
All right. I don't think I have any either. I told you before the podcast, I went through schedule of the short track races that I'd like to hit this year. I'm probably going to back off on the NASCAR stuff a little bit this year. Try and hit some short track stuff that I haven't been able to do the last few years and do some traveling around the state and a little bit outside of the state. And I just wanted to shout out the track in our backyard. James, I don't know if we mentioned on the podcast or not, but August 25th, the All-Star Circuit of Champions sprint cars coming to Tri-City Motor Speedway here in Auburn. Very cool for them to have that show. Yep. So if you're in the Michigan area and you want to check out Tony Stewart Sprint Car Series, go check them out at Tri-City on August 25th. So it should be a good
show. I've seen them before in person and really enjoyed the show. I mean, they are, you know, it's not the world of Outlaws from what I understand, but right. It's pretty dang close. I really enjoyed my time watching those guys get after it.
Definitely. Big deal for sure.
It's such a crazy thing that those guys do, that they get those cars to get around those corners the way they do.
Dude, I was just watching. So the local, I say local with air quotes because it's a regional series, but the one that we see around here is the Great Lakes Super Sprints. And I was watching some video from them. There was a crash at one of their tracks this week, and just watching before the crash, the video of these cars, it's just, I mean, these are just local guys that are running these things. And it's just incredible to watch these sprint cars. If you've never gone and watched a sprint car race on dirt, I mean, honestly, on asphalt, they're pretty awesome, too. But on dirt, to watch them go into the corners and not even lift. They just turn sideways and just stick. It's amazing. Yep. I mean, we ran a 30-lap feature at Tri-City when I was working there with the Great Lakes Super Sprints in, like, 11 minutes without cautions. Man. It's just insane.
Yep. Yeah. It's, I don't know how they do it.
It's crazy. And the fact that they don't wreck very often is the craziest thing. Like, all you got to do is touch tires and go flying. But
Yep. Late models are the same thing. I don't understand how a late model gets through the corner the way it does. I just don't get it.
Have you ever gotten to watch the Outlaw late models with the big wing on them and the big
I've seen them, like, on TV. Not in person, but I've seen them a few times.
I've seen them in person, but never anything more than, like, four of them. But, man, when they got one really hooked up, they're freaking amazing. It's so crazy to see them. So, yep. Any black flags this week, James?
I turned down Fox at one point and I had the race on for about 15, 20 minutes and there was no sound from the broadcast booth. It was just the race. And I couldn't figure out why, if it was my problem, if I picked the wrong channel, I just could not figure it out.
That's weird.
And I don't know what it was.
It had to be
the weirdest thing.
I watched the race and I didn't see anything like that.
I had sound from the track. You could hear the cars going around and around and it was great. And I was like, you know what? I'd prefer it this way.
Right. I was going to say, it probably did you a favor.
Yeah. I was surprised. But who was in the booth this week? Was it Matt Kenseth?
Is that who it was? Booth? No.
It wasn't Matt.
I don't remember who it was now.
Oh, anyway, I didn't hear a bunch of it, so it's all good. No worries.
My black flag is, I already talked about him, but I got to throw the black flag at Carson Hocevar. Gotta straighten it up, man, and just race. You know, I'm a fan of his. Got to see him race the short track stuff around here. Want to see him succeed, and I think he was really on an upward trajectory last season. I mean, obviously, like you said, he got the win this year. But he's got to stop this bonehead stuff on the track. He's making an idiot out of himself, and he's just hurting himself. So stop wrecking trucks, stop wrecking people, and just race your race, dude. And there you go.
Yeah, and he's really a good personality. Like,
yeah.
You know, he's really snarky on Twitter. Like, he's got a good – if he can just hone it in, that's all. Yeah. So that's all. Just hone it in a little bit.
Yeah, and he's young. I mean, that's where you learn is in the truck series. So he's learning in the right place. But it's time to learn, Carson, and straighten up.
Yep.
Straighten up so I can cheer for you and not be irritated with you, you know?
Two dads. Straighten up, son.
Right? Yeah. Straighten up, kid.
Yeah.
James, where can people find you on social media if they want to hit you up during the week?
At James Cush on Twitter.
You can find me at TSuperSpeedway on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheSuperSpeedway. Our website is TheSuperSpeedway.com. You can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and Anchor. Subscribe wherever you heard us for new episodes each week. And if you go to anchor.fm/thesuperspeedway, you can leave us an audio message and we might just play it on the show. We go to what Fox calls the world's fastest super speedway, which is interesting because they don't go the fastest there. But Talladega Super Speedway this weekend. for the NASCAR Cup Series, NASCAR Xfinity Series, and ARCA in action there. We will be back next week to break it all down and hopefully talk about a great super speedway race. Until then, everybody, let's go racing.